On a recruiting trip to Cornell University in late 1993, my technical assistant, Steven Sinofsky, was impressed by the way the academic community there was using the internet to communicate. It wasn't just computer science students who were involved. Cornell and other universities were using the internet to publish course schedules, student and faculty directories, class mailing lists and assignments, and news of lectures, exhibits, and other events. High-speed networks linked personal computers that were available to every student. Clubs and organizations were conducting a lot of their business over the internet. Students could even check their tuition bills over the net. Every student had an electronic mail or email address. Internet usage in the academic community had achieved critical mass. When I heard Steve talk about what was happening at Cornell, I began to take the internet quite seriously. By the spring of 1994, Microsoft was betting that the internet would be important someday, and we were building support for it into our products. But we didn't expect that within 2 years, the internet would captivate the whole industry and the public's imagination. We were great optimists in the long term, but the years of waiting for online services to catch on had made us conservative in our estimate of how soon significant numbers of people would be using interactive networks. When the internet really took off, we were surprised, fascinated, and pleased. Seemingly overnight, people by the millions went onto the internet. All it had taken was for modems to get fast enough, communication switches to get cheap enough, PCs to get popular and powerful enough, and content on the internet's World Wide Web to get rich enough, and there was no turning back. I can't tell you exactly when this point of no return was reached, but by late 1995, we had crossed the threshold. More users meant more content, and more content meant more users. The internet had spiraled up in popularity, achieving critical mass. Ironically, when a technology reaches critical mass, its weaknesses and limitations almost become strengths, as numerous companies, each trying to stake a claim in what quickly turns into a gold rush, step forward to fix the deficiencies. Today, a lot of the internet's pieces are missing or deficient, but because it is destined to evolve into the global information highway we've been talking about, the internet offers a wonderful opportunity for companies who come up with ways to improve it. Today, my company is among the thousands contributing to the internet's evolution. It's no exaggeration to say that virtually everything Microsoft does these days is focused in one way or another on the internet. The level of investment in the internet is amazing given that no one's making much profit yet. As some stock prices decline to more realistic levels, critics are sure to say that the internet is nothing more than hype or even dead. Don't believe it. We're experiencing the early days of a revolution in communications that will be long-lived and widespread. Interactive networking is here to stay, and it's only just beginning. I wrote my first software program when I was 13 years old. It was for playing tic-tac-toe. The computer I was using was huge and cumbersome and slow and absolutely compelling. Cutting a bunch of teenagers loose on a computer was the idea of the Mothers Club at Lakeside School in Seattle. The mothers decided that the proceeds from a big rummage sale should go to installing a terminal and buying computer time for students. The computer terminal didn't have a screen. To play, we typed in our moves on a typewriter-style keyboard and then sat around until the results came chug-chugging out of a loud printing device. Then we'd rush over to take a look and see who'd won or decide a next move. A game of tic-tac-toe that would take 30 seconds with a pencil and paper might eat up most of a lunch period. But who cared? There was just something neat about the machine. We were too young to drive or do any of the other things adults could have fun at, but we could give this big machine orders and it would always obey. Computers are great because when you're working with them, you get immediate results. You know right away if your program works. Experiencing this thrill was the beginning of my fascination with software.